This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kiddies. This is y'all's Dooley, John Kassir, the voice of The Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. My name is Mikey Bones, and I'm joined with my hosts, Kat Valor and Rob Humphrey. Guys, what's going on, man?
Hello. How's it going?
Finished watching an awesome trailer.
No. not talking.
I don't know. Maybe she wouldn't have did it. We're talking about, guys. Everybody, we're back. Well, we got a lot of shit to get to, but what we're talking about is before we were recording, I was... coerced into kind of I was somewhat forced into telling them about a movie called Trailer Park Shark. Yes, a friend of mine, Allie, you might see her on Twitter every now and then. We got into a shark movie discussion because of Sharks of the Corn and whatnot, and Trailer Park Shark was threatened to be unleashed on this show.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
I'm scared.
Yeah, it does look very good.
I would classify it as must watch.
Would you really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, that's something you would tell somebody, yes. Oh, you can't miss this one.
Yes, that is must watch.
I'll never understand. I asked Kat while you were watching Trail. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I see stuff like that and I see a waste of time. I automatically think of all the shit I could get done or do in that time. And stuff.
I know you do because you hate fun.
I like if I could watch something good.
You're like, I don't want to watch that and have a good time. I'd rather do my taxes or whatever the fuck it is you do that you think is fun.
I definitely wouldn't be doing taxes. I don't know how to do taxes. I got a guy.
Of course you do.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, nothing.
What? Are you making fun of me for being Italian again?
Nah, just saying. Of course you know a guy.
Kat, this seems like...
It seems like it might be, but I feel like by admitting that, I might also be implicated. So.
No, you didn't say it. He did.
He knows the guy. He knows Vinny from the neighborhood.
See? You see? Is that nice? We're like a minute and change into the show, and you need to do that?
I'm just saying, right? Tell me it's not a guy from the neighborhood.
It's not a guy from the neighborhood.
It's a guy from the neighborhood. It's always a guy from the neighborhood.
Well, it's not. It's a really old white man. I doubt he's ever been to the neighborhood. Oh, watch stuff talking about might be being Italian. Yeah, so we got a pretty cool show, I think, lined up this week. We have some new horror news to get to. I don't know. Are we doing drink roll call?
We can. I mean, I have a drink.
We can, yeah.
Is it worth it to do drink roll call?
Not for me, probably. I'm not drinking anything exciting. But
I am drinking the most exciting of all drinks. Cheer wine.
God damn. Cheer wine has officially made its appearance on the show. You've talked about it, but you haven't been drinking it on the show yet.
Cheer wine soft drink since 1917, y'all.
Wow. Have you said y'all in public down there yet?
No.
You haven't gotten that point?
I think since I've moved down here, I've said y'all like twice, and both times I've been on this show.
Why have you done it on this Horror Life?
Because we don't make fun of him for being a hillbilly over there.
You make fun of me for being Italian over there. He's like Greg doing it last week. Thanks a lot, guys.
Celebration, Mikey. Celebration.
All right. Well, I mean, Rob's drinking cheer wine. Kat, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
I've got work to go to after this.
I am drinking Mikey juice.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey juice, as it has been deemed, and it's just, I put a picture on Twitter of Mikey juice in the process
nice glasses,
of making it.
By the way,
thank you, my little Freddy Krueger cup. Them. Yeah, Yeah, huh?
That makes sense. A kitty diddler drink and a kitty diddler cup.
Wow.
Okay. You know, I gotta talk to you. Why do you do that?
What?
You can't say stuff like that.
I think it's okay.
It's just that we can't stop him.
Clearly we have tried. This is what this conversation right here is about. You won't stop. Why?
I don't know. I mean, you're the one who put Mikey juice in a Freddy Krueger glass. Like,
first of all, Freddy Krueger is not, as you say, a kitty diddler.
Well, right? Remake says he is.
That remake is a piece of shit.
And Wes Craven said he is.
Wes Craven did not say that. Okay, he might have said it, but he didn't. It didn't happen. It didn't happen, so it doesn't exist. It's not canon. So stop it with that. And my drink, I mean, I didn't name it Mikey Juice, but it is Sunny D and pink lemonade Smirnoff in a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm going to be adding, once I get some, cherry grenadine to it. How do you feel about that, Rob?
Well, I like grenadine.
You could drink grenadine, but I can't drink Sunny D.
Well, I don't just drink grenadine. You put it in other stuff. Just get a grenadine would be pretty fucking gross.
But a lot of the drinks you make fun of me for drinking have grenadine. Like, you know, they're bright and colorful, like grenadine. Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one drink that I love, but I very rarely get because it's too acidic for me now because I'm an old man, is the tequila sunrise.
That's a drink right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love that shit.
Yeah. But my tummy does not like the acidic orange juice anymore.
Ooh, a tequila sunrise with Sunny D.
No. No.
Stay tuned for next week's drink roll call. Nice. I didn't even fucking think of that. Okay, here we go. All right. So Mikey Juice was a hit, as always. We still have to think of a bet for you to try. But it was a little bit, it was talked about a bit on Twitter.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah. The drink roll call and you know, mm-hmm. us making bets and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Was I tagged in any of that? I have not been on Twitter that much. This, after they changed it, it's all fucked up. I can never get anything to work the way I want it to now. Elon Musk has killed Twitter for me. Like, I'm very rarely on there.
Damn.
That's fair.
All right.
I mean, this latest update sucks.
Make sure you stay tuned to the end of where he tells you where you can contact him. All right, that's fair enough. I believe there was a drink on Twitter named after you by IR Chris called the Carolina Fuckboy. If I remember correctly.
Oh, I did see that. I did see that. Yeah.
So we might be discussing those going forward. We'll see. But yeah, we have a really cool movie to get to. I can't wait to talk about this movie.
All right, well, don't get ahead of yourself. You're going to give too much away.
I've left no secret ever. You know,
he's been pretty transparent about this one.
Yeah, I love this movie. I've been asking to do this for a minute.
Well, that'll make for a lively discussion then.
I will not talk to you. Okay, we'll wait. There's no way you're serious. Let's get into the news so we can get to the Cujo.
All right.
It's time to hump the news with Rob Humphrey.
He's not a genius.
Okay, I want to open up this news segment by telling you guys to suck it, because I was right. The Last of Us is a great show. My faith was not misplaced, and... Pedro Pascal forever.
Why did I get told to suck? I never said it was gonna be bad. What did I do? Why do I gotta suck it? What the
dead
hell?
Dead silence last week. Everyone was like, "Oh, sure." You all thought I was marching off to disappointment last Sunday, and here we are.
All right. Well, I'm still not watching it. I don't buy it. Cat gets too sucked up into the hype sometimes.
No.
Wow.
The hype is real this time. They go really heavy on the scary mushroom element. Very Sporer heavy. And it made me cry. I don't cry at TV very often.
Sissy.
I've always been very indifferent about The Last of Us because, you know, there's a lot of on off with the game and the series. It's like, I was just kind of tired of hearing of it. And, you know, I wasn't crazy about the game because that's not the type of game I play. Mm-hmm. You know, so it wasn't as big of a deal to me, so I really didn't care. I didn't think it was gonna be bad though. I thought
because you don't play with other people.
Yeah, it's not as fun. I gotta be competitive.
I disagree.
Yeah, I must break them.
Yeah, here's my guess, Kat. I'll probably get around to watching The Last of Us after I finish watching Chucky.
I'll take it.
He'll never finish it. Believe me.
It's not a never. I'll.
There's a lot of stuff we can kind of breeze through in the news. Just a quick mention, Dead by Daylight is apparently keeping Leatherface. There was a rumor, I think it was on like DVD leaks or something, they're pretty popular, that Leatherface was going to be removed from the game, much like the Stranger Things was, licensing and all that stuff. But I believe Dead by Daylight came out and just said, no, that's not true, we're keeping him. So apparently the Texas Chainsaw rights holders finally almost said no to something.
This is not something they do often.
No, so they must have raised their price a little bit, and Dead by Daylight was like, come on, man, all of a sudden? Really? your stock has dropped since last year. But, you know, it's staying there, so good for them. More face camping in the fucking basement. Oh, boy. I tried to close the tab. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Everybody stand back. I've been having everybody listen to computer issues up the wazoo. So I'm currently practically using a microwave, so bear with me. Attack of the Killer Refrigerator. This was mentioned because of you guys.
Sounds amazing.
Comes to Blu-ray for the first time. Shockingly, it's the first time it's been on Blu-ray. From Terrorvision. Go ahead, go.
Yay.
Looking at it right now.
God.
Never even heard of this movie. It's a 1990 film.
Ooh. Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was new.
Oh, my God, this sounds amazing. A refrigerator goes on a killing spree after teenagers abuse it.
I'm sold.
Oh, my God.
Yep, I don't even need the trailer. Where can I stream this bad boy?
You could buy it on Blu-ray, apparently.
It doesn't look like you can stream it anywhere.
Shocker. This is so fucking stupid, guys. What are we doing here?
Oh, man. It's limited, too.
You know, you guys tell me I don't like horror movies. I mean, I'm starting to question if you guys like horror movies. These are comedies.
You
they're
don't
not
like
horror
fun,
movies.
Is, I think, the thing that we always tell you.
But they're not horror movies.
But they're fun.
I don't have to like them.
What? Are you not scared of an abused refrigerator retaliating?
No.
How nice are you to your refrigerator, Mikey? It could come for you.
The movie's true to form. The way my daughter treats the refrigerator and all lights in the house, I can see the refrigerator getting upset. But no, I don't care.
So this the Blu-ray is limited to 2,000. And there's only 1,295 of them left in stock right now.
Oh, you've got to go fast.
Yeah.
You've got to snatch up your copy before it's too late.
Or not, you know.
No, nope.
You don't have to.
Not an option. You have to immediately.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What, are you not going to buy this?
No, I'm not going to buy that. No.
So you'll just not see it, is what.
Apparently, there was an Attack of the Killer Refrigerator 2 also.
How? Oh my God. Are we done talking about it, or you guys need another minute?
I think we're good.
All right.
I mean, I'm just
I need
searching.
Another, like, approximately hour and a half, but it can wait until I've seen it.
Then I'll get another hour and a half. All right, fair enough. Skinamarink just passed $1 million in the box office, and it's coming to Shudder next month, guys.
Yay!
All right.
There you go, Rob. Next month's almost here.
Getting here.
February 2nd, it will be on Shudder.
I can't wait to hear what you guys think of Skinamarink.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. this is just... Apparently there's a Bollywood remake of Scream.
I have seen this. No, I've seen the... Just to clarify, I've seen the news about the Bollywood Scream. I have not seen the Bollywood Scream. Just,
fair.
You guys are going to hear about it when I get my hands on a copy of it. God.
I would watch a Bollywood Scream.
Why not?
You love Scream. I thought you liked all things Scream.
I do, but no. All Scream ripoffs are bad, except for I Know What You Did Last Summer. That's not even a total Scream ripoff. But, you know, like, fucking, not I Know What You Did Last Summer, Urban Legend. Urban Legend was good. I Know What You Did Last Summer was bad. A lot of the Scream ripoffs are bad. This is not going to be good.
Oh, my God. Have you seen The Mask?
Yeah, it's a fucking clown mask.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
This is amazing. And it's coming to Screambox February 3rd.
That's why I brought it up. And I was like, Screambox will really take anything at this point. The movie's called Shh. A bunch of S's, a bunch of H's. Mm-hmm. And it looks stupid.
Dude, this is our chance to get a Scream movie before Five Cream Part 2.
I'm not talking about this anymore, so.
New Scream content.
Moving forward, Don Mancini teases there are potentially more legacy characters to return in Chucky season 3.
Who's left?
I don't know. They were talking about the kid from the third one, maybe, is a rumor. Like the kid he befriended in the third one in the military. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, season 2 was really bad. Like,
I didn't see it, obviously, but all right, well, we'll see what they bring up. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me at this point they've already brought all the major characters back, so they would have to really dig into some of those side characters, unless there's someone I'm forgetting.
You see what Halloween did? Now everybody's doing it. And it's like, you know, legacy characters are the ooh and ah factor were because they were important characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like now it's just saying they're legacy characters. Like, I'm sorry, but the whole Kirby thing for Scream 6, it's not a big deal to me.
No, it's not me either.
Right. So it's like, you know, we're getting a little carried away with the whole legacy thing. Just saying. I think it's a fair statement.
Do you think Six Scream is going to have Force Ghost Billy Loomis come back?
Well, hold on. First of all, it's not Six Scream. It's not what it is. Second of all, are you making fun of the Billy Loomis thing?
I mean,
like, that wasn't crazy?
I thought it was kind of lame.
Kat, please tell him he's out of his mind.
Did you think it was lame when you first saw it? Or are you just, have you had some distance from it? Because I don't remember you complaining about this.
Ever. I've always not liked it. And it's very Force Ghosty.
Oh. Dude, when I seen that I went crazy, man. That was fucking, that was awesome.
I know, but you have terrible taste.
No, I don't. That was Kat. Who? Stand in, please.
So I really liked it as a story. The biggest complaint I had with it, because that was one of my complaints with the movie also, but it wasn't because I didn't like it. It was because that deep psychological element did make it feel a little bit less like a Scream movie.
But also, doesn't it sort of, in a way, like, portray Billy Loomis as, like, now a good guy when he's seriously one of the worst
people
ever?
I think I saw it as him being a good guy.
Well, he's helping his daughter and stuff, and it's like, you know.
No, I think he's trying to tempt her.
Mm.
Into, like, murdery ways.
Yeah, but at the end, he helped her save her life.
Well, yeah, she needs to be alive so she can be murdery. It didn't bother me in that regard.
I think it's awkward. I just think it's awkward for a Scream movie to all of a sudden have this weird Force Ghost of Billy Loomis pop up.
See, and the other thing is, I didn't really see him as a ghost so much as I saw it as her reconciling with her dad. And when you look at it that way, that is something that, while I still don't think feels like a traditional Scream movie, I do think it's a good reflection of the, I hate this term so much, but it is a good reflection of the elevated horror that we've been seeing the last couple of years, which mirroring well. What's going on in the horror community is a very Scream thing to do.
All right. Well, yes. Do we think he's coming back in Five Scream Part 2?
No.
Maybe.
I think that... Okay, I'll get to that in a second. But like Katja said, Scream, they always moved with the times. So absolutely, and when they move with the times, they do it well. They always do it right, and that's why I love Scream so much.
Well, I'm willing to concede to you guys that it does move with the times to sort of the elevated horror thing.
And it wasn't paranormal.
I'm not sure about doing it well.
How dare you? You bust balls over how great fucking Halloween Ends was, and they did something different, and that is the... Other than Rob Zombie, that's the most un-Halloween thing you could have did.
Oh, stop it.
You know I'm right about that.
That Scream, movie is good.
Besides the point, that was why you liked it. They gave us something different. It did something different with the franchise, yada, yada.
I didn't... I don't not like Five Cream. I just don't like that element of it.
Ah, you're crazy. That was... Man. It's also, too, like we always talk about, Scream is my generation. So, like, seeing Billy Loomis again was like, holy shit. And I don't know. I fanboyed out. Not gonna lie.
I think that might be why it was off my list, and Studio 666 was on.
I'll call you to R-Court again. I'm still mad about it. I don't think I haven't thought about it since. All right. Well, segueing with Scream, since you have to be a jerk. Trailer came out. What do you guys think?
I didn't watch it.
I couldn't not watch it. It came up on my feed, and it appeared on Twitter in the 2 minute window that I was on Twitter one day, and there was no way I wasn't gonna click that link when it just popped up like that. So I watched it. It looks good. It looks much darker than I like my Scream movies. But it looks good. I think maybe they gave away a bit too much in the trailer, but who knows?
Yeah. That's my only complaint, is they showed... there was no way I was not going to watch this. Mm-hmm. There's no way... But see, that's the problem now, man. We shouldn't be afraid to watch trailers.
Right.
Like, that was never a thing for movies before. And I don't know why it is what it is now. Like, that should be a preview. Like, they straight up... I'm going to be vague because I don't want Cat to hit me. But, you know,
hit him, Cat. Hit him.
Cattle prods.
Don't do it.
Shit. They showed way too much.
They showed a lot.
Way too much. Like, I'm pissed off having seen it, honestly. Yeah, but that's the first time.
I mean, it looks good.
Looks great.
I really want to come out with a movie just so I can be like, this is how it ends, and that's the full trailer.
Could you imagine? Like, just show that, and then when the ending happens, they'll be like, motherfucker, they should. Yeah. That was the trailer, literally the end.
But yeah, it does look good. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but I don't know. I like I said, the tone looks a little darker than I would like for my Scream movies.
All right. I mean, I don't know why you always feel that way. Scream is dark.
I don't think so. I never thought of Scream as dark. Scream to me has been light and fun.
But it gets dark as fuck though. Mm. When it needs to, it has everything. You're uncultured. You know that? You ashamed of yourself.
Nah, I just always have thought of Scream as more kind of light and fun. And that's not a bad thing.
I know, but I just don't see it. Kat?
I also see Scream as light and fun. That being said, I'm not opposed to seeing it get a little bit darker. I'm curious to see what they can do with it.
As long as it doesn't veer into Terrifier territory.
I agree.
I don't need all that in Scream.
Yeah, I don't want it to be over the top, but if they want to go a little bit darker with it, I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, okay.
It looks interesting. I mean, it looks like, from what they showed in the trailer, which seemed to be a lot, it looks like they're going to explore some interesting ideas. So we'll see.
Oh.
But, you know, they've been known to fake us out before, though.
Yeah. You know,
metal, ghost face mask, and a flamethrower.
Oh, yeah, that's the other aspect of it, Robin. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they just, like, fuck, man. Damn it, Kat. Join the misery with us.
No.
Yeah. This honestly is the first time I've ever felt that way. Like, now I know how you guys feel. I've never felt this way about a trailer before. Been this mad.
I felt that way about the new Evil Dead thing.
That director still
say I'm
saying...
wrong, but mm-hmm. I was kind of pissed.
No, I agree with
might.
You.
I'm gonna be at the movie theater more than I realized this week, apparently, and I might just leave if the Five Cream thing comes up. I might just be like, no.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it shows a lot.
Yeah. All right. Last thing I wanted to bring up. Apparently, and this is according to Bloody Disgusting, Sean Cunningham is developing a reboot to The Night Driver, a reboot to House, and a reboot to Friday the 13th.
Okay.
Have you guys
Night Driver, I don't know what the fuck that is. I have no clue what that is.
Hmm.
Never heard of it.
That's him not being able to make money off Jason for all these years, is what that is. Cash grab.
House. Okay. I'm fine with a reboot of House. Reboot of Friday the 13th. That's where things get a little tricky.
Yep.
Because what exactly are they going to be rebooting? You know, what with this legal thing and all the entanglements, what are they doing? Is it like 2009 where they said they were rebooting, but all they really did was blow through the first three movies so they could get to the hockey mask? Or...
Can they even do that?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know. With this property right now, I have no idea what... Who's allowed to do what? You know, it's the same thing with the TV show, the prequel TV show. What is that? I have no fucking idea. So what does a reboot of this look like? I just don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know. The article says that Sean Cunningham is working to get his own Friday the 13th reboot off the ground. So, you know, that's the question, dude. Like, I feel like whatever he's trying to do, it's going to be picked up if he's doing it, because mm-hmm. you know the title is Friday the 13th and it's going to be by Sean Cunningham, so people will watch it. Who the fuck knows? I don't know. That's the thing. What if he's just doing a movie with the title and there's no Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know.
What if he's like trying to make? What if he tries to make his own killer and replace Jason? How would you feel about that?
Well, I mean, then it's not really Friday the 13th to me. You know? Like, it's just not.
I was a little cat. I mean, do you agree?
So, it's hard to be like, this wouldn't be Friday the 13th, because at its core, I think it could be. You know, Friday the 13th as a franchise changed at Friday the 13th Part 2. I wouldn't be against the concept of seeing a new killer coming in inherently, but I think you have to go in with the mindset that it's going to be very different than the experience that we've had. Like, I'd be willing to give it a shot. I'm curious enough that pretty much no matter what, I'm gonna be open to watching it, but it's hard to get over that it's not going to be Jason.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it. It doesn't matter. But to me, if it's not Jason, then it's not really Friday the 13th. It's just going to be something he's calling Friday the 13th. Yeah, essentially, it'll be like Jason Goes to Hell, which to me doesn't really feel like Friday the 13th at all.
Okay, well, how about this? I'm going to show you right now the attitude of gratitude that Mikey Juice gives you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I coined that phrase, by the way. And what if, in a perfect, because I agree with Rob. Yeah, it's not going to be Jason. It's not going to be Friday the 13th. And we're going to watch it anyways. But what if they are able to pull off a really fucking good slasher movie? And they have a cool killer. And he does the shit that Jason does. but he's not Jason, and he's somebody else, and they just pull off a phenomenal fucking movie.
Yeah, no, like, then I'll be at a weird spot, because right. It sounds like I'll like the movie, but I'm still not going to like that it's called Friday the 13th. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah. I agree.
But you know what, man? With the way shit is, like, if that's what they have to do, we'll be there already. Like, these rights things, maybe it'll make money to where, you know, they can agree. They're like, holy shit, all right, we can split this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jason can return, or maybe you can have this villain versus Jason down the road because the franchise likes to do shit like that.
Maybe.
You never fucking know, dude.
Maybe what you do is you continue on with Uber Jason.
Holy shit.
I'd be into that.
But that's not Jason, though.
Still, though.
I mean, I'd watch it. Yeah, no, I'm not. Well, Kat, of course. That's funny as shit. Kat famously, Jason X is your favorite Friday the 13th movie. Yeah.
We learned a lot about how ridiculous Kat can be at times.
I get a lot of shit, man, okay? And some of it deserved, but Kat, quietly, you know? Cats are big, is the thing. Like, mine, I do dumb shit along the way. Kat waits and just really hits you hard.
Yeah. I save up all my hot take points for one thing per franchise.
She's like a nuclear bomb, Greg. Like, it's just all at once.
Meanwhile, I'm just sitting over here in the corner being right all the time.
Not all the time.
All the time.
No.
Well, I don't know. I'm glad to see the ice cracking with this Friday the 13th crap.
Yeah, I mean, at least we're getting something, you know, TV show, a reboot, whatever. I mean, yeah. Okay.
And, you know, not to make this new segment drag on any longer, but, man, it is a shame that Sean Cunningham's name isn't, like, you know, Wes Craven and John Carpenter, and like, I wonder why he never did that.
He didn't really direct a lot. I mean, he did the first Friday the 13th and probably some other stuff. I don't know, but I think he was more of a producer, and it just doesn't really happen that much for producers.
Yeah, but he could have pulled it. Like, it was his thing, man. Like, he could have pulled it. He could have did it if he wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, he could have put it on, you know, his name over the title, and I don't think anybody would have said anything about it.
Nah, you know.
And I take that back. He's directed a lot of shit. Jesus, I didn't know.
None of it really hit, though.
No, I mean, yeah. Friday the 13th, Spring Break. You guys remember Spring Break?
No.
It was like one of those early 80s college sex comedies.
All right.
And Deep Star 6 is probably the only other thing of note that he directed.
He sold the rights to Friday pretty quick, though, didn't he? Or am I incorrect in that, Rob?
No. He still has the rights to Friday.
But isn't it with... He still has the rights, but isn't it with a company, too? Or am I just thinking of something else?
Yeah, he had a company that... I'm not exactly sure how the rights stuff works. Again, right. It's very confusing. But he... there was a group of producers who came in on the first movie.
Okay.
And put in some money. I don't know how much they have or whether he bought them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think part of his deal, actually, now that I think about it, was that he didn't take, he either didn't take a director's fee or he took a much lower director's fee to make the movie, and in exchange he got the rights to any sequels going forward, which they gave him at the time because nobody thought it was going to be anything.
Right.
And they weren't, it wasn't, like when Friday the 13th came out, sequels were not really a thing.
Right.
And I think that was part of his deal or something. It seems like I read that somewhere. It could be completely wrong about that, but it seems like I read that someplace.
I remember something. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I remember there was something funky that was one way or another there. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But either way, the franchise has always been fucking messed with rights. We should have seen it coming.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's all I have for news.
All right.
This week, we are wrapping news up with a special Hillbilly Humphrey Gabagool corner.
Wow.
We have a submission that was sent, and I will say, before Mikey gets mad, before I get horror corded over this, I will clarify, the meme is an Italian meme, but it was submitted with the idea... It was submitted for the hillbilly hoedown corner. I don't remember what the name of the thing is. I'm not usually in charge of that one.
Oh, yeah, it's another office.
So right. I thought that it might work for both.
All right.
Okay.
If you guys are ready.
All right.
Okay, I'm ready.
I don't know how you combine those two.
I don't know how I'm going to get this picture on this piece of shit computer I'm using. Let's go.
You just have to go purely off of Rob's reaction, I guess.
I have to refresh here. Hold on. Thanks, Elon.
Wow. Okay. I'm the one seeing it first this time. This got a lot of bits in one, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here.
I kind of wish I would know who sent this. Like, this is, they pay attention.
Yeah. That's a good one, though. I like it.
They are a listener.
They are a listener.
Yeah, everything. And that is some shit a redneck would fucking do. Honestly?
It is. It is.
I'll tell you what. That might not be the worst idea in the world, man. You could make, like, some... Like, if you got fries, you'd get some ranch on that motherfucker.
I mean, I could see somebody around here being like, I want to have me some Italian coffee today.
I don't know, man. That might not be a bad idea. Make, like, quick sauce. You just put the marinara in the Keurig and boom.
Yeah, get you some quick gravy right out of there.
Stop. Why do
you... We had almost come together.
Almost, and you fucking ruined it, like always. God damn it. So I forget who I was talking to. Somebody asked me... They mentioned, or implied is a better word, they implied that, like, our bickering is a shtick. Right, I laughed.
It's
like,
real. It's,
this is how we talk to each other, when we're on here or not. This is how it goes.
Right, but it's all in good fun.
No, it's not. You're a butthole.
Oh, yeah. Well, who's that?
It's not in good fun. Like, goddamn. You said that to be mean to me. Period. All right. I came out of this more mad again.
I thought we were going in with you not going to be mad, but...
Yeah.
I like that one, though. It's a good one.
I liked it.
I don't like it anymore. All right. That's it for the news and Gabagooly, Humphrey, all that stuff. And I can't wait to talk about this movie, so we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with Cujo. You managed to... You have such... you're a marksman at pissing me off. You really are.
I don't know what you get so upset about.
Fucking marksman. All right. Anybody got to pee or do anything?
Nope, I'm good.
I don't think so.
All right. you might
I never really know anymore.
Clearly, you're poor pants. I still can't believe you. Shit, pants you weren't wearing.
I know.
Oh. Anyway, all right. Here we are. I'm finally getting to talk about Cujo. This movie is incredible. I've seen this a bunch of times. I haven't pinpointed a Portnoy yet. This is going to be up there for me. I'm letting you guys know now. I've never kept it a secret. I love Cujo. The performances in this movie were outstanding. What they were able to pull off was just masterful. And I forget what I said was my favorite Stephen King movie, Rob, when I did the episode of This Horror Life and we were talking Stephen King stuff.
I believe it was Maximum Overdrive.
No, that's what you picked.
And yeah, but we all agreed.
No, that's what you're the only one who were on that was on that side of the fence. I don't remember what my favorite was. Whatever it was, I take it back. It's Cujo.
What if it was Cujo?
I don't think it was Cujo.
That creates a conundrum for you.
Because I haven't seen Cujo. I watched Cujo after, for the first time in a long time, after our interview with D. Wallace.
Okay. Well, then so, it was definitely Maximum Overdrive.
No, it wasn't Maximum Overdrive. I still don't know how you think that. And that, boom, that's it. That's all I have to say right now. I'm going to leave that there. What do you guys think?
So I thought about just like as a joke saying this in the most inflammatory way possible, going Greg on everyone. I don't like watching Cujo. It's done very, very well. I have a tough time with animal.
I do too.
And it's one of those things where it's like there's a bit of a split because it's like there's nothing in this movie. There's like no element of it that I don't appreciate from a critical standpoint. I love it so much, but I did put it off until literally the last minute because it's like it's gonna make me sad. It's one that I don't have on a lot. Which is, and it's kind of a shame because it's so well done. And watching it, you know, it's hard not to appreciate the cinematography is great. The pacing, I think, is phenomenal. Mm. It is very dread inducing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have a lot of stuff to talk about with it that it's just, and it's all praise for the most part, but I will get out ahead and say, like, I don't actually like the experience of watching this one. Because even through, like, it's so hard, you know, to just, because it's almost more sad to me than scary, even though I can feel that sense of dread. And I think that's gotten, like, as I've gotten older, I think that ratio has gotten worse. Because I remember this freaking me out as a kid, where it was like I was sad, but mostly I was scared.
Yeah.
And now that I'm older, it's like, all right, I'm a little bit scared, but mostly I'm sad. It's like, it's an unfavorable ratio, but you're not going to hear me complaining about it though. Cause it's so good.
You know, I always get mad about that shit. And This movie is the only one I look past it about, especially now that I'm older. Cause they did a very good job of, like, you know, she was doing what she had to do. But they didn't show you anything to think that now seeing it, how it's shot and everything, they didn't show anything. Like, that dog looked very well taken care of. And, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which you can appreciate now. So it's like, you know, some movies just go above and beyond and, like, you know, it's ridiculous and I don't want to look at it. But I'm sure we'll get back into that at some point.
There was one shot I noticed where she like goes to knee the dog and it there's still like a good foot of distance between her knee and the dog.
She didn't get
close.
And
for the most part, it's edited really well. Yes. I think that was the only one slip up I noticed where you could see that they weren't like really fighting. But in a way, it was kind of a relief because it's like, oh, that good dog.
Yeah. Rob?
So, I hadn't seen this movie.
I'll hurt you.
Since it was like new. Like, I remember my mom took like 7-year-old me to the movies to see this film and traumatized me. And so I hadn't seen it literally since then. I don't remember watching it since then. And I don't know. This is boring.
Are you doing a bit? Rob?
I'm doing a bit, yeah, of course.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, we were going
to
fight.
I thought for a minute Kat was going to say some shit and I wasn't going to have to do my bit, but...
I almost did it as a bit, and then it was like, no.
This would have been worse than me and Kat's Cabin in the Woods, I can promise you that.
No, I hadn't seen it in a long time. I remember this movie very differently than it actually plays out, because it's been so long since I've seen it. But it's really, really good.
I did too. There was like one big, I remembered that it wasn't like the kid's dog, but I remember there being a lot more screen time of the kid with Cujo.
You see,
before they're in the car.
I always remembered this as it being the family dog. And I also, for some reason, remembered them being trapped in a station wagon, not a Pinto. Just little things like that. I also didn't remember that it was halfway through the movie before we even got to her and her kid being trapped by the rabid dog. As far as the animal death thing that you guys were talking about, like, I'm with you on that, except this movie doesn't bother me. And I think it's because Cujo is, I mean, he's a monster at this point, you know?
I will say, it's not the death for... in this one, usually it's animal death. In this one, it's more like the... I guess the transition. I don't know why. It made me so sad. Like, the first time they show the eye goo, it was like... Oh, like, I mean, my heart just broke a little.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that is sad. But, you know, by the time.
But at the end, like the actual death, it wasn't as bad.
No, it's hard for me to feel bad for that dog at that point because it's not a dog anymore. It is a literal monster.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like feeling bad for the shark in Jaws when it gets blown up at the end, you know? Spoiler alert for Jaws.
I cry every time.
It's just, you know, it's done so well.
They had to.
Yeah.
You know, like that I think is a good point of it, too, because like when I see it in movies, usually I'm like, God, man, why'd you have to do that? Like, you're trying to get emotion and all, like, whatever you're trying to do. Why'd you have to do it like that? This is a situation where what is she going to do? Like, anybody would do what she did in that moment.
Yeah.
Anybody, whether we want to admit it or not. That you have to do that. And, you know, that kind of goes into a point that I wanted to bring up. We're probably going to bounce around here. Man, they did such a good job at showing what Cujo's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, obviously everybody knows dog, you know, big dog is scary. But they had, I think his name was Gary. I don't remember. The big redneck dude, the first guy that Cujo attacked.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're kind of talking down about him in the beginning and, you know, oh, he couldn't do nothing. Like, dude, he's still a big, a heavy fucking big dog, you know, and he took that big guy down, you know, and went through the door and like, they showed you this, like this, he's fucking dangerous, man.
Which I think is good to know. Cause I think it would have been hard. It adds an extra layer of fear. Cause it's like, even if it were a smaller dog, there are still even a medium-sized dog. Oh, right, if I see that it's rabid and I'm in the car, it's like, I'm not getting out of the car. That dog is crazy. I don't know what it's capable of. But I think the fact that we do see, because it, and it's, you know, she doesn't know, she hasn't seen the carnage that Cujo has left behind. I think her reaction to just not get out of the car, very reasonable, very relatable. But there is that extra layer for the audience because it's like, we know just what he can do. You know, it's not hypothetical for us. It's like, he can take her down.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
She's nowhere near as big as the two dudes that are dead already. Like,
right. You know? Like, my dog is not a big dog. Hell, even one of my dogs, I own a Pomsky. Okay? Not a very big dog, you know? But look, if he wanted to, he bit me by mistake a couple times playing, man, that fucking hurt. You know, like, and that's a small scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you still wouldn't want a rabid dog of his size coming at you, let alone a fucking giant. Man, this movie was scary. And like Kat said, it was scary. You felt bad for the dog. It evoked it. So many emotions came out, and it's like, it just kind of all balls up into fear. And like you said, it's hard to watch this movie. A lot of things are hard to watch about this movie. It's an uncomfortable movie, but God, were the performances done so well. Dee Wallace. What, she is so underrated. As much love as she does get, she should get more.
Yeah. I agree. And her performance here was fantastic. And I with the whole fear thing, with just how scary it is, one thing that I really, really appreciate and probably wouldn't have noticed, I wouldn't have thought about it had I not done the rewatch, was I love Cujo's design. Like, as he gets more and more rabid, because like Rob said, you know, he's a monster by the end, but I think something that's really kind of subtle in the design for Cujo, once he starts to make that transition into monster, is that we're not really seeing what a rabid dog would literally look like to us as adults. We're seeing how a child would perceive a rabid dog. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very exaggerated, but it's not so over the top that it's silly. you know, but it's just the, I think they did a really good job with that, you know, where everything is kind of heightened to the point where it's like, this would feel very dramatic if you were the one in the car, you know? And I think they did a good job showing that.
I feel like this movie is part of the reason that I don't like the shark movies and crap, honestly. Because, like, you can go so many different... I love this series. Like, this movie took itself seriously and was fucking serious. It could have got ridiculous, and it didn't. And I don't know. Like, I've always liked Cujo so much, and it's like, this is what I expect from a killer animal movie. And Jaws.
Well, don't expect that from a killer animal movie all the time.
I know. Because... but we don't get this anymore. We get
because we wouldn't rewatch this all the time. We'd be sad all the time if we tried.
I'll rewatch.
Sometimes
this.
We want to have fun.
Are you trying to tell me that Sharks of the Corn isn't as good as this?
I need to keep you muted. Because, like, I've had an aggravating couple of days, and you're purposely, like, you don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that. There's no way you believe that. I don't know why I actually believe that. Why did you say that?
I mean, I think they're, you know, just as good, like, in their own respective ways.
You don't even believe that.
Yeah, no, it's not really an answer, is it?
Oh, my God. You piss. See, you a marksman. That pissing me off. Man, that's another thing, too. They did a really good job of, speaking of, like, the cuts and everything we were talking about earlier. Dee Wallace's performance even ties into that a little bit because, and she mentioned it when, during our interview, I forget which episode number, how long ago it was, go back and look, how difficult of a role that was and how she had to conjure up all that emotion because, I mean, it was all there. And we got to think, she's doing that probably to nothing. Because, you know, to get the dog to do what you want to do, and that's just some dude sitting in the car trying to get the dog fucking, you know, whatever the handler is to get it to do what it needs to do. She's looking at nothing outside of that windshield and has to bring that emotion out. The kid in the movie, too. You know, like a good portion of that was probably cut around and like, damn, man, her scream when Cujo bit her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. From nothing.
About the kid, though.
Okay.
It's not a criticism of the actor. It must be incredibly hard to be a child actor. Like, no. Absolutely. No shade on the little kid. But, and this is something that I've noticed with other Stephen King movies that I haven't seen for a while. Like, since I was a kid myself. Not an isolated experience. I don't have the patience to be a parent. Like, I just, that kid was on my last nerve like so many times. And it's like, that wasn't a problem I had when I was a kid, but it was like, because she's just, and it's one of those things where it's like, he was scared, and the first, like, few times that he starts screaming, it's like, you empathize with the kid like you're supposed to. By the last time he was screaming, it was like, if this dog gets in here, it's going to be your fault. Like, shut up. You know? It's one of those just like, and Dee Wallace, again, just amazing in the role, because it's like, she, you can see her trying to get the kid to be quiet in like a very protective way, but as someone that is not that child's mother, it's like, dude, knock it off.
Yeah. But that's what I would think a kid would act like in that situation, though.
Maybe I'm overestimating children. I just really like to think that most kids would be like, once they realized that sound was bringing the dog over, I would be too scared to keep screaming. Like,
I don't know.
I would not want that dog looking at me like that.
I don't know. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I've seen some kids that would probably react like that. But I don't know. I thought it was good. I didn't mind it.
He reminded me a lot of the kid in which, and this is a terrible comparison to make because the kid in the Babadook was not under this much duress, but it reminded me of that scene where they're in the car and that kid just starts freaking his head off and it's like, oh my god.
Damn.
I would snap. I couldn't handle this. I cannot handle this kind of stress. That's before you throw the rabid dog in there. Yeah.
That was the thing, man. Because either way, whether the kid should have been doing it or not, he was doing it, and she had to deal with that, you know? And like that obviously goes more towards her, but, you know, she had to deal with that. And I don't know, man. She was just... I believed the movie. I was in the movie.
It is. Yeah. It's very realistic. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned before that you're halfway through the movie before they even get stuck in the car. But that first half isn't boring.
No.
Or whatever. I wasn't waiting. Like, can we just get to the fucking dog already? I mean, they were telling an interesting story already, which is something we don't see a lot in movies. When they try to build, they do that much world building and in character building. Oftentimes it drags on too long, but it never felt that way. Here, I mean, there was interesting stuff happening. By the way, free tip, if you're in a relationship that's in trouble, having another baby will definitely fix everything.
Another sexy time with Rom?
Yeah, yeah, that is 100% the answer.
Okay.
I like that also, because it felt very real, it felt very natural, it was a story that was interesting enough to carry itself, but also it... Because there was stuff going on in the foreground, it was really easy to, like, every time we saw Cujo, there was just that building tension, you know, as he got progressively worse. But it wasn't, like, in your face. It was done very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it the whole thing works as a movie. It just works.
Yeah. Does anyone else think that maybe their marriage was in trouble because the husband was driving around in a Jag while his wife was driving around a beat-up asshole Pinto?
Yeah. I'm not going to say that was why, but I'm not going to say it's not.
I mean, if nothing else, that seems to be indicative of a larger problem, right? Come on, man.
Yeah, I will say, there was a moment that I started laughing a little bit because it's like he's driving out there and it's like, what if he had tried to come to the rescue in this thing? Like, he just would have been murdered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Holy shit, yeah.
Just like, you can just see the clip of Cujo just like flying at him through the side of the car.
I also watched it with the closed captions on because I'm an old man now and I do that a lot.
Okay.
And there's a scene where, Dee Wallace is standing, I believe she's at the sink or something, she's in the kitchen, and her husband comes up behind her and she says, "You scared the shit out of me." And for some reason, the closed captions had the line as, "You scared the teeth out of me."
What the hell?
I don't know what that means. Is that a saying?
It should be.
I know, right?
Did you buy a new TV when you moved down south?
No. No.
No, I thought maybe it was like redneck closed captions or something.
It's the same TV, same closed captions as far as I know, unless they like, you know, geolocate me or something. I don't think that's what's going on though, because a lot of my electronics apparently think that I speak Spanish because I get a lot of ads in Spanish for some reason.
Okay.
I've been getting more of those also, like, on YouTube. I keep getting the Spanish Dawn commercial, and it's like, yes, for when I need to do all my dishes in Spain, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
for me right now, it's Verizon. I'm getting Spanish Verizon ads a lot.
Well, shit.
Scared the teeth out of me.
Yeah, scared the teeth out of her. And I was what?
Scared the teeth out of me.
Man.
I could fucking go on and on, man. This movie was really fucking good.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I don't know what kind of sheriff they have in that town.
Not the best one.
But I feel like he pulls up to go find her. He pulls up to the mechanic's house. And there's a car that has bashed windows and blood smeared on both sides. And he seems not the least bit interested in it. Not at all. And I'm not a law officer. All right. But I feel like I know enough that if I were sent on an emergency call and I saw a car smashed in with blood on it, I might check that out.
Yeah.
Not this guy. Not this guy. Uh-uh.
That's fair. That's very.
I don't know why. He just drives right by it, parks his car someplace else, and gets out to take a look around.
That's fair.
Yeah, that bothered me a little bit also, because it's like, because you're so relieved when he shows up, you know, and they have all those shots of the car, and you're like, man, he's gonna. And even having seen the movie before, even knowing that he doesn't, it's still like there's that sense of relief where it's like, oh, they're showing us the car. He sees the car. He's gonna get them help, and he just doesn't even really try that hard to investigate. No, and it's like, oh,
not so much. Yeah, it's weird. It also leads to her getting out of the car at some point, and she goes towards the house.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens to be where Cujo is. He comes out from underneath the porch or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, why try to get all the way to the house? Why not go to that police car first? There's going to be a radio in there.
Or at least start it, put the kid in there and drive off. I mean, you know, that was my one thing I could say negative.
Even if you can't get the kid out and get him to the police car because you're worried about where the dog is in time, if you can get to the police car, then there's a radio there, and you can call for help. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
My other thing. That. My other like one, I'm not sure this tracks for me, is I would have shot the dog. I know she eventually gets there, but there's that one scene where she's already fought off the dog, and he's laying there, and she has a gun in her hand, and he's still, and I would have shot him then.
Yeah, you have
like,
to.
Which, and it's. You know, and it's one of those things where it's like, it's easy to be like, I would do this smart thing in a horror movie. But I think in this situation where it's like, obviously, the dog needed to be put down. Even if he were alive, he would still be suffering. It was a more mundane thing to make sure he was dead. Mm-hmm. It was a safer thing to make sure he was dead. I would have.
At that point. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I would have pointed that gun at him and shot until it was empty.
It only takes a few seconds to do that, and you can go about your son, you know, like that needs to be handled. I would have, and that was my thing, like I wouldn't have went in that house with that dog out there in any
case. And like I understand, again, it could, with the kid, you know, I know that she wanted to get to it, but like you said, a few seconds to just make sure that is dead dog.
Right. And also she does do, I give her credit for this, she does do the thing we don't see in horror movies often, which is she holds on to the gun. She doesn't.
She brings the gun with her in the house.
Yeah, I give her credit for that.
And horror movies, the last, like, the last several years have taught me to worry about where the gun is, because I, even knowing the end of this movie very, very well, it's such an iconic end to a film, even knowing that, the second that gun was out of frame, it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Fuck. Where's the gun? And it was like, you know, and then you see the dog jumping and I didn't see the gun in the frame. And it's like, no, what? And, you know, and then when she pulls it out, it's like, oh, thank God. But why do people not do that in movies?
I don't know.
It drives me crazy.
She also gets out of the car a couple of times, and at least once. She gets out and she has no idea where Cujo is. And I'm sorry, you do not get out of that car unless you know exactly where that fucking dog is.
Yeah. And then the way, and it's an amazing moment in the movie for the way that it builds tension. But I hate seeing her get on all fours to check under the car.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely not would I do that.
No. Yeah, no, that's never going to happen.
But at the same, you know, that's another thing they did too, did really well. The progression of how fucked up being in that car got, you know, and you say that, man, and trust me, I understand. I wouldn't either. But I can see getting to the point where it's like, dude, we're going to fucking die in here.
Her kid's having heat stroke.
Whatever he had going on.
He's struggling. They're both dehydrated.
Yeah.
I understand, like, eventually there's a point in there where it's like, I've got to get out of the car. But once she was out of the car, like making myself vulnerable getting like lower to the ground, like that that one stressed me out more than anything. And of course, you know, and I say that, but it's like there were also other points that she had been out of the car where it's like, I think I might have tried to make a run for it here and I'd probably be dead. Like,
just think about it. I don't like sitting in my car in this, and that looked like they were down south or something on a farm, like sun was beating. I don't want to sit in my car until the air condition cools off, let alone for out who knows how many hours upon hours, windows up, no nothing.
Yeah. Well, they that's bad. I've talked about Texas Chainsaw Massacre and how none of the sequels ever get the heat right. It's that oppressive feeling of heat. And this movie captures it perfectly.
Conditions, bro. Yeah. The movies forget about that shit now. It doesn't even matter. It's cold somewhere. You see their breath. Like, you don't see the progression of conditions anymore. Like, this movie had nothing but two people in a car and a dog. In the middle of a fucking pretty much nowhere. Like, that's all they fucking had. And they used every bit. They squeezed every bit of emotion and all that out of everything. It's a masterpiece, dude.
It
is. And the conditions, like you said, like, we keep coming back around to it, but it is the strongest point of the movie, is that it feels real. You know, like, these feel like real people in a real situation, and it evokes real concern for them, you know? And I, stuff like the conditions and the bringing the gun and just it all, it seems so plausible, you know?
The only other thing that I had that is a mild complaint about this movie, and I don't think it's actually specific to this movie so much as it is to the time period, those early 80s movies, but it has that weird freeze frame at the end, and I really dislike that. Do not like those at all.
I kind of understand how it could be a cool thing, but there are, and horror might be the worst genre for it, where they're not always great at picking what frame to freeze on.
Right, it's a
like
weird
it feels
spot,
a little bit
right?
silly sometimes, and
it just felt like a really weird spot to end the movie just suddenly like that.
But it's like you said, it's more a staple of the time. Like, I can't be mad at Cujo specifically for this.
Everybody was doing it. I don't know, man. Fucking, you know, I would be interested to see how Dee Wallace's character Donna would fare in a Murder Madness tournament.
Honestly, she would not do too bad.
Well, she is resourceful.
Absolutely, man. And I'm not saying she'll win at all or nothing, but she wouldn't be an easy.
You can pull her weight.
She'll fuck Jeremy Melton up.
I wish I could remember. I think it was oh god, I was watching a book review for The Butcher and the Wren, which terrible book. Cannot recommend. I'm not name dropping it as a recommendation, but the reviewer pointed out she was reading it for the first time, and one of her biggest complaints was that the killer's name is Jeremy, and she had to stop, and she's just like, Jeremy is not a scary name. And the first thing I thought of was the Murder Madness bracket. Like,
it's not.
You're not wrong.
It's not a fucking scary name at all, man. What?
Jeremy is not as scary. No,
nothing works Greg, because Greg thinks Jeremy Melton's a fucking world beater, too, by the way. So, you know, no. Nobody's afraid of fucking Jeremy Melton. No.
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 By the way, you can pick up The Butcher and the Wren on Kindle for $10 right now.
Don't do it.
Why would you do that?
Cat recommends.
No. I refuse to recommend it.
All right. Well, I mean, honestly, I think I've obviously stretched out quite a bit. I mean, we could revisit this movie one day, you know, like it wouldn't be out of the question entirely. Like, I think there's that much to talk about.
I wouldn't mind revisiting it, especially if we could get Dee Wallace back on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I also, and one thing that I had wanted to do, and there was just, this was my busiest week of work for a long time. There was no way it was going to happen. But part of me had wanted to reread Cujo also. Because it's been, I think I read it pretty much right after I watched the movie and not since then. And it's like,
well,
I,
the ending is very different than the movie.
It doesn't freeze frame?
No. What? Believe it or not, no.
God damn it.
No, I don't want to spoil the book for anybody who hasn't read it, but it's very different. I learned that in looking up trivia for this movie.
Oh.
There's a specific thing that was changed for the screenplay at the request of Stephen King. Because he felt like he made a mistake with the ending of the book.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know he saw it as like he had made a mistake. I thought it was because I remember the thing.
He calls it. Apparently, he's called it one of his biggest regrets.
That should not be his big one of his biggest regrets.
I mean, that aside, I'm just telling you what the man said.
But I had thought it was just one of those, like, they didn't think it would play well for movie audiences. I didn't know he had regretted that in the book.
Apparently, he had a lot of input on the screenplay, but refused credit for it.
Oh.
And that was one of the major things that he wanted changed, because he regretted doing it that way in the book.
That's interesting.
Kat.
Yeah.
Did you change the average of bad CGI sharks to a 9.9 on the Portnoy sheet?
Maybe.
Did you really? Because it's 9.9
no,
right now. How the fuck did that happen? There's literally a whole, like, equation. There's the, what do they call those? The little equation code things.
Yeah.
The formula. There's a whole formula in there to add it up on its own.
Huh.
You must have did that while you were drunk.
Maybe. I don't remember doing it.
Don't deny it. It can't be ruled out.
No, you know who did it.
Yeah, you don't know how to get on the damn spreadsheet.
No, I didn't do it. You guys never gave me access to it.
I did not do it.
Leah did
it. No, you did it by putting the good scores in that we all gave bad CGI sharks, right? I assume?
No, it did not. There's two fours and a one in there. I'll let you guess whose was who.
I can't even find. I should use the search function, I guess.
Damn it, Leah.
Does this fall on Leah? Maybe Leah.
She's in charge of the spreadsheets.
She's not in charge of all the spreadsheets.
Oh, it does say 9.9
See?
In there.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, wait. No. That's because, okay, so it's listed. This is correct. Hear me out. It's listed as average, but that's actually the total. The columns are mislabeled.
I'm stoned. I apologize. Okay.
This is why I should handle the spreadsheets around here.
Oops. All right. Well, that scared me. I just seen 9.9 in bad CGI sharks and was like,
And I was ready to like confess to it also, because it's like, that sounds like something
you very well could have been drunk and did it. Yeah.
Drunk Cat shouldn't have access to spreadsheets.
Stoned Mikey shouldn't have access to spreadsheets either, apparently.
I don't have access to spreadsheets.
You do have
That's
access
correct.
To the spreadsheets. We don't want you to have the access, but you do. All right, are we doing reviews and trivia and stuff? Because I can go on forever. But
I'm excited to get to the ratings for this, because I think it's going to make you specifically pretty mad. I was shocked. So I'm excited
I hate
to
it when
see
Mikey's
how you handle
mad.
This. I'm sorry.
Rob, do the right thing and candy bar where needed, please.
And this time it's more the ratings, I think, than the reviews, although the reviews are also a beast. The tomato meter for Cujo is 60%.
Are you fucking kidding me?
The audience score is 45%.
I always tell you that Rotten Tomatoes ain't shit, and we need to just stop acknowledging them.
I can't. It's fascinating, though.
People are so fucking
dumb. Because I just thought
dumb.
For sure that this was going to... I didn't think it was going to have, like, a super high score, but I would have put money down on it being, like, right around 70%, and
Easy.
Probably higher for the audience score. So I was just... I was stunned to find this out today.
You know what the problem is? Cujo's just a popular movie. It's the killer... Because it was terrifying. Everybody knows it. It's fucking Cujo. And... Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if some of those people didn't even see the whole movie. Like, I don't know. It's too mainstream. People aren't going to like that.
And the IMDb score is 6.1 out of 10, which is the highest of the three, but it still seems low. I found three reviews for this one. A lot of the reviews were in the middle range. They were like 5 to maybe 8 out of 10 stars. They had like a lot of good points, bad points all over the place. So it was hard to find extremes, but I did find one on each end and then just one in the middle that we need to talk about. But starting with the 1 out of 10 review, this is from Fiendish Dramaturgy on IMDb. The scariest thing about this movie was the box.
Wow.
And it recaps the movie for a while, but then, the part that I wanted to address, I'm sorry, but a rabid dog, even under the conditions of isolation such as this movie presents, just isn't scary. All the screaming that goes on is basically the typical female victim in the typical female victim role of most poorly done movies. Help, help, I'm all by myself and I'm very scared. Ridiculous. Take a dog bite and kill the thing. The shots are painful, but you don't get the chance of your kid slipping into a coma while you're doing it. I found the movie rather pointless, and I, an avid Stephen King fan, found the book to be a bit worse.
All right.
So.
I would love to put that motherfucker in a car, a shit car too, where, you know, it's plausible a dog could break in there of that size, with a big motherfucking dog that eager to clap his cheeks. I would love to see his reaction. Are you kidding
he
me,
can
man?
Just take out there. He can take a bite and kill the dog. No problem.
Yeah, it's not like the dog will pin you down. That bite will be on your fucking throat. You know, no big deal.
No.
I mean, I don't know, man. I think he makes some good points. I'm starting to come around. He might change my Portnoy.
And then your kid is left to be dessert. Like, are you fucking kidding me, bro? Like, what a fucking asshole. Give him a candy bar, Rob, please. It being illogical.
All right. Candy bar for that guy.
At least give him a Hershey kiss. No pun intended.
You might have to have another Hershey kiss for this one. This one, it's not a terrible review, like rating. It's not a terrible rating, but I just had some questions that I'm not going to get answered. This is from Bowman Blue, also on IMDb. 6 out of 10. Which seems to be the average Cujo opinion. It's titled One for Cat Lovers, I suppose.
That's funny.
Which, it's like a fun little quip, but then it elaborates on this. You can almost hear every old cat lady with a Persian cat on her lap tutting as she watches Stephen King's Cujo and saying something like, I told you that dogs were trouble. Here a lovably cuddly St. Bernard doggy gets bit by a rabid bat with disastrous consequences. So yeah, there does seem to be some real cat versus dog drama going on in this one.
I feel like that was like a cute title for the review.
But then they kept
and then they
going.
Really, yeah, they really tried to make it into something and it didn't work for them at all.
A fucking idiot.
They had some other criticism. Without wishing to spoil it for you, the dog goes on a rampage. The dog, just a dog, not a demon dog or a dog with superpowers and laser eyes, just a dog. So they did not seem impressed by this one.
I'm not gonna lie, I would watch a movie about a demon dog with laser eyes, though.
God damn it.
That seems like a Goosebumps episode.
I'm a little disappointed that's not what this is.
Stop it. No, don't say that. That's what made this good. It wasn't something stupid like that. We talked about it already.
That's our third film, Cat. Demon Dog with Laser Eyes.
Demon Dog. God damn it. I like that that's the title also.
Yeah. I hate the bully.
So yeah, and then the 10 out of 10, it covers a lot of stuff that we've already covered, but this is from Online Observer, also IMDb, a realistic horror film that should be more appreciated. When I first saw the film Cujo, I thought watching it was probably as traumatic for me as it was for the two characters who had to survive this horrific yet realistic ordeal. There's a recap, but then it goes into a some more praise, which is mostly what I wanted to talk about. Dee Wallace, I think, should have won a Golden Globe or something for her portrayal as Donna Trenton, considering her acting in this film is incredible. Her performance is what made this film so hard to watch. She's believable when the dog attacks her, but it actually made me want to stop. It's gruesome, but very well directed. The film is hard to watch, but if you enjoy horror and appreciate incredible acting, you should give this film a go. Which, that one, there weren't a lot of, like, 10 out of 10s with full reviews, but it was nice seeing one that just appreciated Dee Wallace, because she, man, carries this movie, you know?
She sure does, yeah.
It's nice seeing someone being honest instead of everyone going, oh, go out there with the dog, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy to say that from me couch, man. Calm down.
No.
So, that's what I've got.
All right. Trivia. This has an estimated budget of $5 million. Worldwide gross of $21.1 million.
Whoa.
The dogs featured in the film would often have their tails tied down to their legs because they were enjoying themselves so much that their tails would just wag back and forth during filming.
I noticed that too, man. When he was staring at the hillbilly, the big dude. Mm-hmm. His tail was, I'm like, damn, he's happy to fucking eat him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they said that they missed it once in editing, and you can see Cujo's tail wagging all over the place energetically.
Yeah,
that's adorable.
See, that's why it didn't bother. You could tell the dog wasn't, you know, you didn't feel like that.
They used 5 Saint Bernards, 1 mechanical dog head, and a guy in a dog costume.
One guy in a dog costume.
Really?
I did not notice the guy in the dog costume, so they did okay. To make the St. Bernards attack the car, the animal trainers put the dog's favorite toys inside so the dogs would have to try to get into the car to get them.
Aww. Yeah.
They wanted those fucking toys. Yeah, yeah.
The foam around Cujo's mouth was made of a concoction of egg whites and sugar. The dogs caused problems on the set because they were constantly licking it off their lips.
Dogs gained some weight on set. Yeah.
Stephen King has admitted several times that he was so deep into his alcohol addiction at the time that he does not remember writing this book.
Yeah.
The scenes where Donna and Tad are trapped by Cujo are supposed to be in the sweltering heat, and they do come off that way in film. However, the conditions were actually extremely cold during filming. At one point, it got so cold inside the car that they had to put heaters in there to keep the actors warm. But they had to be turned off when the shooting to prevent the sound from interfering.
Oh my God.
Damn.
They did an amazing job.
Dude, yeah. That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah, it looked like they were in the middle of fucking 100 degree weather.
Yeah, no, this was actually filmed in Mendocino County in Northern California, and it doesn't get super hot there.
Not Canada. Beautiful.
And finally, Stephen King has stated that he feels Dee Wallace gives the best performance in this film of any film or TV adaptation of his books.
Absolutely.
Yep.
When does he say that? No, I'm not disagreeing, but like, I am curious.
I don't know. That wasn't.
Because I feel like he might have said that more than once about stuff.
It's possible. It's possible. Yeah, the win of that quote was not included.
All right.
Wasn't nobody from fucking Maximum Overdrive.
Well, should have been.
He changed his mind.
Emilio Estevez fucking tore that movie up.
Move on.
That's all I got.
Oh, okay. That's a nice,
so we just have to land on the Maximum Overdrive phrase.
Yeah, nice.
We all always land on Maximum Overdrive in the end.
We don't all do that. You do that.
That movie is so amazing. You two are so, you're both just idiots.
Jesus Christ. See, you can't say that.
Why not?
Because you're insulting us and being rude.
Yeah, but somebody has to tell you.
Maximum Overdrive, it's fun, but it's not Cujo.
It's not good.
Listen, it is the best Stephen King adaptation.
It's Gerald's Game is the best Stephen King adaptation.
You know, you hate Dee Wallace.
Well, no, I love Dee Wallace.
No. You hate Dee Wallace. You didn't show up for the interview with her. And now you're going to, just to continue a bit, you're going to say that this is better, that Maximum Overdrive is the best Stephen King adaptation. Just for a fucking bit to be spiteful. You hate Dee Wallace.
I do not. And as far as I'm concerned, we never interviewed her.
Wow.
And now you're pretending she didn't even exist. Look at you. You hate her. Shame on you. All right. Let's see. Redeem yourself then. Okay. Portnoy time. All right. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I can give out my Rob score first.
Not a Rob score.
Ask Kelly. This movie's strong all the way through. It's hard to point out exactly things that are wrong with it. I mean, there are nitpicky things here or there, like the freeze frame at the end or whatever, but it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't interfere with enjoyment of the film in any way. I give it an 8.8.
Okay. I have my mind ready, but Kat, would you like to go first, or you want me to go?
Yeah, if you want to go. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I have, I rewatched this movie most recently, obviously now, but before that, most recently, like I said, was shortly after we interviewed Dee Wallace. I was in the mood to watch Cujo. I haven't seen it probably the closer part of a decade. You know, probably early 20s was the last time I watched it prior to that. But I have seen this probably a dozen times. I love Cujo. I didn't remember it being as good as I remembered it prior to these two rewatches. I'm giving this a tie for the highest score given to a movie. I'm going to give this a 9.8.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
That's pretty damn high, dude.
That's fucking high, and I mean it, dude, because every aspect of this movie was strong. Like, if you were to go along and give a grade individually, like if you had categories individually how well they did, I mean, it's probably going to average out to somewhere in that neighborhood.
I would imagine right at an 8.8.
No. No, would not. This is a fucking good one, man. This. We talk about it all the time, where we talk about how if a movie's scary, but you always start off by saying, well, it doesn't actually scare you. Dude, this movie scares you. It brings out emotion. It brings out weird shit that you don't want to feel, but the movie's so good that you want to watch it. And it's like, you know, how many movies can we say truly do that? Not a lot. So you, Rob, are wrong.
No, I agree with that. And I also, another thing this movie does really well is it proves that a movie doesn't have to have a high body count to be scary.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, Cujo had some bodies now.
He did. But honestly, even if he didn't have any, it still would have been scary.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they made sure it was a horror movie. And that's why I love it, man, because you can't even, you know, like this style of movie, you can get lost and it's, you know, more about the performances and like Silence of the Lambs, that argument happens, you know, like it walks that line, but they made sure, man, this is horror. Love it.
I have the lowest score for this one, which I wasn't surprised after Rob gave his score, because I knew Mikey wasn't going to go lower than an 8.8. I know, I'm close. I have it at an 8.6.
You're not close at all.
Which I'm close to Rob.
That's bad. You don't want to be close to Rob. No.
I struggled with it a lot because this was one of those where a lot of my notes at the bottom were just me like writing down Portnoy's and then scratching them out. And it was kind of like the Hereditary thing, but in where it's like it was harder for me to come up with a Portnoy almost than it was to watch the movie. 8.6. I don't think I've ever given a movie like higher than an 8 that I have this much emotional, like I had to kind of like work myself up into watching this one, because it's the animal stuff makes it like a really hard sell for me. It's not one that I would put on alone ever. I wouldn't do it because I know it's not for me. But it's so well done that I felt like I also could have gone higher with it. Like, and I struggled over this Portnoy because it could have been, having a movie like that, that I wouldn't rewatch ever on my own, be above an 8. Like, I don't think I've ever done that, you know? Like, 8's kind of the, I will put this on for myself bar for me with a movie. And Cujo doesn't meet that requirement. but I couldn't put it lower than an 8, you know, because it's so fucking good. I landed on an 8.6. I think that's... and I kind of see what you guys... We went through this... Not that... Like, I think it was his house, where we kind of went through the thing where it's like... Mikey didn't like it that much, but Rob, you said, I think, that it was like... It was a good movie, but you're not going to put it on.
Yeah.
But you tried to be fair to it, and it's like... I tried to do the same thing with Cujo, where it's like, I'm really not going to watch it. But...
Well, and that's fair. I mean, look, it's no Jack Frost.
Yeah.
We stop with that. Stop bringing up Jack Frost.
Never. Never stop bringing up Jack Frost.
Remember, after when I told you I was going to rewatch Cujo, I said I want to fucking do this, man. This shit was good.
Yeah, good movie.
And I'm glad we did it. I'm glad I even though I didn't want to watch it, I'm glad that we did.
My biggest regret is not keeping up the it's boring thing longer.
I don't.
You would have gotten smacked, I think.
You would have got a reaction. you got everything you were looking for, buddy. I'll tell you that. It'll be the new time that it did everything you intended it to do. All right, go follow the show on Twitter if you're not already. A lot of stuff happens out of nowhere. Things change and whatever. Pretty soon the slashy stuff is going to be up for voting. Just it's the best spot, and also the conversation and just the fun and the antics that go on with our lovely community on Twitter. It is fun. So @SlasherRadio on Twitter. Go to the Patreon, patreon.com/SlasherRadio. Tier starting as low as $3 a month, guys. Like, come on.
Yeah, sign up, you cheap bastards.
The fucking tier 2 and up. You get our Easter egg content. You get an extra show every week from the Lord Humphrey. Oh, fuck. What was the name of that thing again?
The Lord Humphrey Audio Entertainment Network, I believe, is what you're looking for.
That shithole. Yeah. You can get that. We still haven't found a rat guy. Throwing that out there.
Yeah, you're doing all right. You're doing a good job.
It's cold, man.
We'll get you a heater.
Go do that. It's free. Like I said, go check out the tiers. It's free to look. Support the show. And I'm at Mikey's Dead. Probably it.
You can find me on Twitter anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes per day. at Radio Rob 123. And you can listen to the other show that I do with Kat called This Horror Life, wherever you are listening to Slasher Radio.
You can find me on Twitter at @Kat_Velour, VOLEUR. You can check out my website, katvelour.com.
Sure can. And next week is Patreon pick, and after that we're starting the slashies, guys, so make sure as we need to finish the fucking sheets and everything, make sure you look out on Twitter, make sure you keep it up on the socials, because voting will be beginning this upcoming week. Good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best of Slasher Radio podcast. Thank you.